Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century.
I've got my work cut out for me this hour. It's 13 after. Folks, thank you for joining us. I'm glad you're here. 888-822-8255 is our phone number if you'd like to join us. And believe it or not, there we will actually be able to make room for you. This hour, counting me, there are going to be four small business people on this show. And keeping all of us organized and headed in the right direction is sort of like herding cats. So you'll have to bear with me. I'll do my best. Beverly Williams is our guest, and our first guest I want to introduce. She is our dear friend, an outstanding and amazing small business home office, a home-based business, I should say, resource, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. Beverly, welcome back.
Well, good morning. Thank you. And I'm not sure that I like being considered a herd of cats. But
well, you're one of the cats. Today, you're one of the cats. You're just going to have to deal with it, Beverly.
Okay, I'll deal with
but,
it.
But your job as co-host this hour is to help me herd these cats up.
Okay.
And let me introduce these other folks. They're a husband and wife team, and they are Antigone and Everett Ladd. Antigone, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
It's good to have you here. Everett, welcome.
Hello.
I always introduce the ladies first, Everett.
I understand.
You understand. We have to keep the ladies happy. Someone told me one time, when mama's not happy, nobody's happy. Anything to that, Antigone?
You bet.
Beverly, you introduced me to these ladies, these folks, and I appreciate you doing that.
Sure.
Tell me what it was that you thought was so interesting about them.
Well, there were several things. I first met Everett at a speakers association in Washington, D.C., and when he told me that he does leadership training based on historical figures, that sort of piqued my interest because
yeah.
It was a very different angle. And then I met his wife, and she is just a ball of energy. And I'd see her flitting around at our speakers meeting and heard a lot of people talking about her. And then I had a conversation with them, and she told me a story about how they got started that I thought was just fascinating.
Antigone, why don't you do that now?
Well, I'd love to. Thank you. We originally had the idea with a group of partners. There were five of us, and we all thought that it would be fun to design leadership programs that were different from the kind that we had all seen, which is you sit in a classroom with a bunch of other people and talk about theories and concepts. Our idea was that we would actually travel, and we would base the case studies examples on real people from history and travel to the locations where those people actually worked and lived. So we designed a couple of programs. The first one was on Abraham Lincoln.
This sounds a little bit like ecotourism here.
It was fun. I mean,
yeah.
The idea was incredible. We designed one using the whaling industry, and we're going to go up to Mystic Seaport in Connecticut, go out on a whaling boat.
All right.
And the third one was going to be on Winston Churchill, and we'd go to London. So the five partners all had an interest in a portion of it. Everett, being the businessman, was going to show us how to get set up as a small business, what kind of financing it took, insurance, legal papers, et cetera.
Now, Everett was a former banker.
Yes, he was president of a bank in Northampton, Massachusetts. The wife of a college professor was going to help design the curriculum. The travel agent was going to do all of our travel arrangements, and the Time Life marketing lady was going to do our promotion. So we designed the three programs, promoted them, and got enough people to do one program, which was Lincoln, and we did it in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And we lost our shirt financially. We not only didn't break even, we lost money, including not paying ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided long-term we had to rethink our pricing strategy.
Boy, there are small business people right now listening, Antigone, who are nodding their heads saying, I've been there, done that.
Oh, yeah.
And bought the T-shirt, and boy, was it a big T-shirt.
Including a couple of people on the phone line here.
At least a couple,
and
right.
And Everett was saying, it's all right, I understand, this is how you get started, let's keep going at it. So we all did our time voluntarily.
Hope springs eternal.
Our big dream was that one of the five of us eventually would go full-time, and then the others would come on board as we made lots and lots of money.
Because you guys were still working your jobs as you were doing this.
Exactly. Yeah. Five full-time employed people. Well, what happened was within 2 years, we had finally put together enough marketing stuff that we did a huge mailing to the world, and nothing happened. So as we were going along, what happened was the marketing lady died suddenly in her 30s.
I'll be darned.
She had childhood diabetes. The college professor's wife, oh, I forgot to mention myself. My skill was in trade association work, where my background is adult education.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew the audience level of business people. Travel agent had her company go bust, so she was out of work. The college professor's wife got a divorce from him and moved out of town. And that left Everett and me holding the company with no customers and a couple of products that nobody wanted.
A lot of people at this point would have just given up.
Well, we did.
Well, you would have said, boy, let's get rid of this cloud.
Well, we opened a file drawer and stuffed everything inside and put it away and went back to our full-time job.
Yeah.
Just
let it incubate for a little while.
Exactly. Well, we thought nothing would come of it, and maybe someday when we retired, we'd have fun with it. In the meantime, 2 years to the day that we closed the file drawer, we got a phone call from MCI's Executive Education Department saying they had a copy of one of our flyers, and could we come in and talk to them?
How long ago was this?
Oh, that's been 10 years.
10 years? Okay, go ahead.
So Everett, my reaction was, of course, no, I was too busy. And Everett's reaction, being a banker, was, yes, we got the equipment. So needless to say, we went in. They loved the program. They wanted to do a test model.
What did you do for them first?
We did the Lincoln program.
Yeah? In their location?
Pardon?
Did you do it at their location, or did they go with you somewhere?
No, we took 15 people up to get it.
Took 15 people, okay.
And they did it as a pilot. Their people loved the program. And so the head of executive education said, we'd like to put you on our schedule. He said, our company is committed to regular programs in the adult education field. He said, our people have a commitment to twice a year get out of the office and take some kind of course.
And you've been doing this ever since?
Well, what happened was they said we'd be about 2 years shelf life for an internal program, and it ended up running for 10 years.
Wow. Antigone, stand by. I'm gonna ask you to wait for a second. We're gonna take a break here in just a few seconds. Folks, I wanted them, Everett and Antigone, to tell you the story, because I wanted you to hear how someone else's small business, home-based business, got started. It's a very interesting story. Probably not unlike a lot of you out there in a lot of ways. We're going to come back and talk a little more specifically about how they operate their business, how they get their customers, and how they manage their growth with Beverly Williams, Antigone, and Everett Ladd. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 24 after the hour. I love this job. 888-822-8255. That's our phone number, toll-free, coast-to-coast. If you have a question for any of our guests, or for me, if you have a comment, you'd like to agree or disagree with us. If you don't like something, we'll get you on the air. Let you tell us about it. 888-822-8255. Or if you like what you hear, I'll let you say that too. 888-822-8255. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Beverly, I know you got a website.
I sure do. It's for the American Association of Home-Based Businesses at www.aahbb.org.
Check it out. And Everett, while we're on a roll here, have you got a website?
We do.
Tell us.
It's www.tigretcorp.com.
Where did you get a name like Tigret?
Well, if you look at Antigone's name and Everett's name, you can see that we took the Tig out of Antigone and the Rhett out of Everett and came up with Tigret. And we concluded that that was going to be unique under the sun.
Well, you said that right.
It worked that way, though. I remember their name because, to me, my first thought is Tigger.
Yes, that's what I thought of.
Winnie the Pooh's Tigger.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, that's what I thought of, too, having not been that many years away from Winnie the Pooh stuff.
What's kind of interesting is that the banking school Antigone ran, a young man by the name, with the last name of Tigret, registered for that banking school, and we said, wow, must be somewhere that name exists.
Mm.
And then, lo and behold, we found when we were setting up our website that there's an insurance agency down in Texas with that last name.
Is that right?
We also found that the fellow that started the Hard Rock Cafe chain has that last name. And finally, there's the Black Rap Star with that as the last name. So,
be darned.
Nothing new under the sun.
There you go. Everett, talk to us about this niche that you guys found, and that's really what this is all about. You took an old product, really, training, and you found a new way to wrap it up and fill a niche that had not been, maybe didn't even know that it existed before. Maybe that niche was another dimension that needed to be found, didn't you?
Well, I grew up in a family that was very educationally oriented. My dad ran a little private school and used to do things differently. He taught kids how to grow vegetables during World War II and how to raise animals and how to use carpentry tools in an environment where this typically wasn't done, but he felt this was the way that you needed to round people out. In my own experience in school, I hated to memorize details, but it seemed like every time I took a history course, the preoccupation was with details, and I wanted to know why. And so that kind of led to this interest in history, and we said, golly, there's some wonderful lessons in history. Why don't we see if we can't combine it in a kind of a training program where people can learn from the experience of people that were in history successful? And then we met a college professor up in Oneonta, New York, at Hartwick College, who wrote a book called The Classic Touch, Lessons in Leadership from Homer to Hemingway. And Antigone actually used him in the banking school that she ran. We got to know him, liked what he did, and said, let's see if we can't take some elements of what he's doing and come up with something that would be still a little bit different. And that's where we decided that the focus would be a historical role model, a leader, and going to a site that was bore some relationship to that leader.
You know, Everett, and Beverly, what I'm hearing from Everett is vision.
Right. Yeah.
I'm hearing someone who said, he didn't just say, I want to be in business. These folks had they were able to look beyond their immediate surroundings and cast their eyes more toward the horizon and see what could be out there in front of them.
Exactly right. I was thinking the same thing, and it's a little different from those people who see a need and fill it, which is the other end of being an entrepreneur. Some people do it because they saw a need and nobody else was filling it. You're right. I think Everett and Antigone both really had a vision, a desire that comes from the inner core of them, from their own need to do something different.
I love entrepreneurs.
Guys,
we've got to stand by. We've got to take a break. There's my music. John tells me we've got to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages, folks. We're going to talk some more with Everett Ladd and Antigone Ladd, and we're going to let Beverly Williams get a word in edgewise here in a minute, and we're talking about how to start and grow your home-based business. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And we're visiting with our good friend Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Business, and two new friends that she's introduced me to, Everett and Antigone Ladd. They own Tigret Corporation, or is it Tigret Corporation? Which way is this?
Tigret
Corporation, as in Tigger, that's right.
Okay.
We have, as it turns out, folks, this herd of cats has a mutual friend by the name of Joe Condrell, who is writing a book. And that book is called A Millennium Primer, Take Charge of Your Life. And I wanted to read something. We were talking about vision. I wanted to read a passage that's probably going to wind up in Joe's book. And it's about vision. Vision. Seeing what might be and believing that it can be. Wrapped in values, principles, and beliefs. Vision arouses passions and causes us to take action. Vision is a force that drives us, entices us, and leads us to make real what we once only imagined. Antigone, what do you think?
You're on.
You have something to say.
That we had the interesting experience of designing three leadership programs and finding that the three leaders we selected, one was Sitting Bull at the Battle of Little Bighorn, one was Winston Churchill during the Battle of Britain, and one was Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War. All three were guided by vision, and all three were successful as leaders because it was their ability to communicate this vision to other people. And so that's sort of become the core of all of our programs, that if you want to affect change, or if you want to turn people on, or if you want to motivate your staff, or if you want to work with a downsized organization, you first have to paint a picture, which is how we describe a vision, a picture of the way things should be. And if you can communicate that picture to people, then you can persuade them to work for it. And it's amazing because these three people did it and with incredible success and really turned around.
But one thing I want to say, Antigone, is the people that you train are part of a large organization.
Absolutely.
Sitting Bull had a large organization. Custer had a large organization. Mm-hmm. Many of the people we're talking to, their large organization is comprised of themselves, just one person. Mm-hmm. How do we convert this vision message to an individual?
I think what you have to do is personalize it, but you've got to start with the picture. That's the premise. You have to paint a picture of what should be, and when you believe in it, you can get yourself turned around and working toward it. It's the old, psycho-cybernetics, or I can't remember the phrase that was out in the 60s.
I have a friend named Mark Allen. In fact, Mark was with us earlier in the week, and he's written a book called A Visionary Life and Visionary Business, two different books. And he says, imagine your ideal scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're talking about,
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, and I think going back to your point, Jim, although they target their marketing to large corporations, I'm assuming, Antigone and Everett, that when you do the actual workshops, you're focusing on an individual's vision.
Absolutely. Well, we can do both.
Okay,
it works for both. The problem is that we have found is most people are unfocused.
Mm-hmm.
They spend their lives doing the trivia and instead of working toward a bigger goal.
Mm-hmm.
If you can somehow get your head to remember that above and beyond everything else, our big goal is X,
mm-hmm.
then you are more likely to get farther along.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that, Everett, one of the things, and I know you know what I'm talking about here, one of the things that small business owners have to deal with is, going back to what Antigone was just saying, We spend so much time being eaten by and chomped on by the alligators. It's hard for us to get in our climb up into our CEO orbit where the vision is. It's hard to have vision when you're down there fighting the alligators, isn't it?
Absolutely. And one of the things that we do in the workshop, Antigone and I and you, we've all gone to a number of programs where somebody stands up in front and says, "Do this, this, and this, and you do this, this, and this." That doesn't last, and so what we've tried to do is hold Lincoln out, for example, as a leader, explain and have people come to understand what he did that was successful and how he did it, and then involve them in the discussion of developing a vision on their own part. And so if we can get them to articulate a vision and start developing and start honing it and tie that in somehow with Lincoln, it accomplishes the purpose that they develop this vision and can hold it in their minds much more easily than somebody tries to tell them something.
Ivan Meisner calls that a memory hook.
Mm-hmm.
You gave them a memory hook.
Right.
And I like that. Whenever I do training, I try to be motivational and have a lot of spirit and energy in my presentations, but I also try to make sure that they have hooks that they can put this information on so they can hang on to it. Right, Bev?
That's exactly right. And I would be interested in hearing from Everett and Antigone how they used what they teach to grow their own business.
Yeah.
Well, I think what we're doing is painting the same thing. We're trying to do a visual memory hook. We find most people relax and remember something that they've either participated in or they've seen. And so one of the things that we're doing is, rather than telling people about what we do, for instance, sending out direct mail flyers about a program isn't the same. If we find anyone who's anywhere near interested, we invite them to visit one of our workshops.
Stand by, Antigone.
On the battlefield.
Stand by. We've got to take a break. First, when we come back, we're going to get Antigone and Everett to tell us about the good, the bad, and the ugly of operating their small business, home-based business. Stay with us. We'll be right back. 888-822-8255. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 After. I'm Jim Blassen here, the Small Business Advocate. And three of my heroes are on the show with us right now. Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, the AAHBB, which put a .org on the back of those five letters, and you get their website, right?
That's exactly right.
And give us a phone number.
That's 1-800-447-9710.
$30 a year, folks. If you are anywhere touching, anywhere close to home-based business, if you are one, a home-based business owner, or you're about to be, you're dreaming of it, join the AAHBB. It's money. It'll be money well spent. Just to be associated with Beverly Williams is worth $30,000, let alone $30 a year.
I'll accept your check tomorrow.
Okay, no problem. It's in the mail. And we're also visiting with Everett Ladd and his lovely wife, Antigone Ladd. They're the owners of Tigret Corporation out of Virginia. And, guys, give us your website one more time, Everett.
Website is Tigret Corp, one word, TigretCorp.com.
Okay, thank you. And if someone wanted to hire you to do your programs, how would they contact you?
They could do it through the website, through email, via the website, which is LADD, L-A-D-D, app, or telephone us at 703-243-7989.
And if you forget any of that stuff, folks, just let me know, and or Beverly, and we'll be sure to get through to you. Okay, guys, we've been talking about all the wonderful stuff, all the exciting stuff, and all the visionary stuff. Let's get down to basics here. Tell us about the thing that was the biggest challenge for you to start and grow this business.
Well, I think one of our challenges was having started the company by running a program that didn't make any money. And by using direct mail, we had to figure out what kind of marketing would reach large corporations, because we decided not to do public seminars but to sell to large corporations, since our single biggest customer was providing all our income, and we wanted to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
So we started by interviewing four or five different marketing firms and asking them, how would you market a leadership company that wants to target large businesses and looks to get 12 or 15 people to do a three-day retreat at some battlefield location. Everybody but one came in with direct mail or advertising in magazines, Civil War magazines, regional magazines, etc.
Mm-hmm.
One lady, a lady named Vicki Bendure out of Middleburg, Virginia, said, I think your story is different enough that I could get you some newspaper and magazine articles, maybe some TV or radio coverage. And she said, you need to sell this program based on its uniqueness. Direct mail won't do it because you can't tell the story as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, since we were still both working full-time at that point, we hired Vicki and put her on a retainer. She's a small business owner herself, and she was looking for steady income. So we gave her a year to see what she could come up with. And within 3 months, she had us a story in the Wall Street Journal, and the phone started ringing. 4 months after that, she got a paragraph or two in Business Week, and then 6 months later, we made the Washington Post.
But now, Antigone, everybody out there listening can't imagine having that kind of exposure. Convert that for us for the average home-based business person out there. How would you recommend we do that?
Interesting question. How do you find a person who is good at public relations? I guess you have to just meet with people and find somebody who's got contacts.
Yeah.
Ask for the referral from others. That's one of the great things about networking.
Absolutely.
You don't have to go and just introduce yourself and try and sell your business. You can go and say, hi, this is what my business is, and I'm looking for a great PR or marketing person. Is there anybody you can recommend, or someone you know who has a PR person that they would recommend?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that is a great networking tool.
Now, when you guys first started out, you've got several people who are associated with you right now. Do you consider them to be employees?
No. We have the other people who work with us are suppliers, vendors,
resources,
associates, yes.
Okay.
We just pay
now,
them on an as-needed basis.
When you started out, the first day you actually said, we're going to do this for a living, did you make a conscious decision that day that you were going to be home-based?
Absolutely. Tell them why.
I've been in the banking business long enough and financed a lot of small businesses to know that unless you've got unlimited resources, you've got to start small and crawl before you can run.
Well said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but now here it is all these years later, and you guys are rocking and rolling. You're obviously not crawling anymore, and yet you're still home-based. Why have you decided to do that?
I think it works. I think we moved into this very gradually, and I would like to recommend this format for other people who are thinking about it. We both maintained our full-time jobs up until 2 years ago, and we did a lot of financial planning and figuring out what would happen if we wanted to get the expenses down, et cetera, et cetera.
This is a very important point. Pardon me, Antigone, for interrupting.
Please.
But Beverly, this is a very important point.
It is vital.
I wanted to make sure people heard that again. You have been really doing this now for about 10 years or so. You've been
10 years as
you've
a
been
hobby.
Sort of really focusing on this, but you worked your regular jobs for 8 years before you actually went out on and did this full time, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
So that means you took vacation time or sick leave or whatever kind of time off from your full-time jobs you could.
Time to help, too.
Yeah, when you go off on these 3 days.
I really wanted you to say that. I wanted to say that again because I wanted people to know that if you're thinking about starting something like this, you can't just get it in your mind that you want to have your own business and say, okay, within 3 months I'll be making a lot of money and I'll be able to quit my job. It usually doesn't work like that. This has got to be something that you just can't live without. You're so passionate about it, you do whatever it takes, like working a job for 8 years before you start your business full time. Stand by. We've got to take a break, folks. It's 50 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I just can't get enough of it. We are back. It's 54 after the hour. We're wrapping up the hour with our good friend Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses, an absolutely beautiful and classy lady, and one of my very good friends. Beverly, thank you very much for being here for me and for my audience every week and for introducing me to such wonderful people as Everett and Antigone Ladd.
It's always my pleasure to come and share, and I learn as well.
Yeah, me too. Go ahead. You had some things.
I did. I think... We just have a quick second here, but Everett, tell us about the cash flow situations. Being a banker, how do you keep your money flowing in a small business when you're dealing with major corporations?
Well, first of all, Beverly, you have to do some planning, and you have to anticipate that nothing is going to work as well as you think it's going
mm-hmm.
to work.
Yes.
And in our case, we've been around a little while, so we build up a little resource nest egg that we can tap into if problems are there. But certainly some people that you do business with are going to try to hold you up for 90 days before they pay you in our kind of a business.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to plan for that, and when you go in ahead of time, make sure you ask for some money up front.
Okay. Any other challenges you've had with cash flow?
Well, we've had one. We're a wholesaler. We don't have a merchant account to accept credit cards, and we've had one client that wants to pay us via credit card, and that's just setting that system up costs about $1,000. So we're
mm-hmm.
still negotiating with them to see if there's another option to handle that.
Right.
How have you guys handled working together as a husband and wife? That sounds like a cocktail for disaster.
Well, it's actually working out very well. I'm losing weight running up and down the stairs. Our offices are two floors apart.
See, these are folks. There are benefits to being home based that you never thought about.
There you go.
Yeah.
You heard that. Her office is one floor. His is on another. They're not in the same office.
So
that's one thing that worked beautifully for us. We went out and visited other couples who have their offices at home.
Good
yeah.
for you.
There are no two that look alike.
Yes.
But I tell you, you come back from one of those meetings, you will immediately clean up your files, get a new set of bookshelves, because you'll see something that works in somebody else's setup. And
mm-hmm.
it's really been easier for me to learn by looking at somebody else's office than by reading a book on.
And you probably also noticed that there were no sharp objects in their home.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Well, it sounds like you guys really enjoy doing what you're doing and from where you're doing it. What would you say to other people who might be contemplating the possibility of having a home-based business?
I guess I'd have to say keep your values straight about what's important to you. I think the biggest trap to a small business owner that I've found is getting so involved in the trivia. I mean, any day you will find one of us on the floor under the desk trying to figure out the telephone hookup or screaming at the computer or trying to do a layout and design on our own. Sometimes you just have to remind yourself that It's okay to bring in an outside specialist to do your web page or a designer to do your artwork, but you're not an expert on everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And focus on the main reason for why you're doing this business instead of trying to handle everything yourself. It's real easy, I think, to get unfocused.
Well, I'm going to have to interrupt you. Everett, I'm sorry. I've got to interrupt you. We're coming up on the end of the hour. I apologize. We need to have you guys back on again another day. Beverly, see if we can work that out.
I will do that.
How long have you been married?
15 years.
15 years. Congratulations. Yeah. Beverly, thank you very much. You did great today.
Oh, it was always fun to be with you, Jim, and your audience.
Thank you. Antigone, Everett, we'll have you back again another day. Let's talk about this some more. Thank you. Enjoyed it. Bye, Everett. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, just like Everett and just like Antigone. Because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.